Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study Galatians chapter 4, we were talking about the things that people do to try to bring them good luck, instead of trusting in the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It was Augustine, and even that got to the place where the influence on the Catholic Church, that it became, we're the only church and we're the only way to heaven. Matter of fact, Anabaptists, which we are today, the Baptist Church got started out of those that said, no. We said, you know, salvation in the Lord, we're not saved by baptism. And really, baptism's the first command after salvation. And we looked at the relationship with the Lord, and we said, no, the Bible lays the foundation, not the philosophies of men. And so Baptists were even put to death for baptizing people that had been baptized as babies, and they killed them for it. And millions, and not just a few, millions were killed for that. But I'm saying that just to say that Calvinism didn't start with Calvin like people think. It started with the Jews, and it went to Augustine, and then, of course, John Calvin, who took much of the Augustine writings and transferred them to his own way of thinking and belief. But nonetheless, it leads to destruction. Now, that takes us then to verses 10 and 11. And it gets us into the matter of why. Well, look at verse 10. You observe days and months and times and years. Why? The word observe is in the Greek a middle tense, which has the idea of the subject acting on itself or for itself. And it's kind of a hard to translate to English. But it's the idea here is that they observe means they scrupulously observe, perhaps as a good luck charm. And so that's the way they observe it. They're observing days, months, times, and years for their own benefit if it will bring them good luck if they do these things. Now, I've seen ball players, maybe you have too. There's some ball players. I knew one guy that was a basketball player that he had to have a hamburger before every game. I mean, he just had to eat a hamburger. If he didn't eat a hamburger, he had a bad game. You watch baseball players, they get up to the bat, and they go through all kinds of things they do. They'll even walk in a certain way to that plate. There are football players, and they have the things that they go through. They don't go through that, then, oh, man, they're not going to make it. I can remember, even as a little boy, I was watching. I was a Milwaukee Braves fan, who are now the Atlanta Braves, but I can remember watching them in a ball game, and I would sit in a chair in a certain way to where my feet were almost above my head because I thought it would bring them good luck. Okay? Well, those are things that they were doing there. That's the kind of the thought that's behind this here in verse 10. So again, look at that now. You observe days and months and times and years. They're doing it for kind of a good luck with God. This will bring me good luck with God. So that's devoid of relationship, isn't it? Sometimes this raises the question of, should a Christian observe certain days as Christmas, Easter, things of that nature? And does it mean that we should not keep the first day of the week, Sunday, sacred, since every day should be regarded as holy unto the Lord? Now, some people say, well, that's it. I mean, every day is to be holy unto the Lord, so Sunday should not be a special day. and we should not be observing Christmas and Easter. So you say, well, Brother Andy, what is the answer to that? Well, the answer is an emphatic no to the question of should we then abstain from observing Christmas and Easter and Sundays in ways that honor God. The idea is we're to observe and do whatever we do as unto the Lord. We do not sanctify Sunday and honor Christ at Christmas and Easter in order to gain some kind of a merit before God for ourselves, nor do we do it to keep him from doing what we think would be bad things to us if we don't. Because if we don't do these things, then we believe we're going to run into a year of bad luck. You know, don't walk under the ladder, don't break a mirror, or you're in trouble. See, we observe Christmas, we observe Easter, we observe Sunday, because in all these cases, we are honoring the Lord and obeying Him in our love and in our worship of Him. And that's the way it should always be. So I hope that you grasp that's the way it's supposed to be in God's sight. Now, I know that there are people that have trouble with that, and I hate to hear that. But when we think about it, Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 9 says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living." So whatsoever you do it as unto the Lord. But now you must remember, Psalms 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all his works. So you don't do anything that's unholy or unrighteous as unto the Lord. So now you look at verse 11 with those thoughts in mind. You're not doing this for good luck. Now he says, "I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." I mean, a mother trains her little one, you know, and tells them, "Now when you go up to see the preacher, you do this. You take this up onto the platform and you do this." And they go up there and they just act out and do everything wrong. Mom's embarrassed and everything's wrong. Or they say the wrong thing after you've warned them a million times not to say that, not to do that. And many of you could give illustrations of that. And so we just say that it's what he says, "I'm afraid of you. Here, I put all this time into you. I've put all this work and investment into your personal lives and my own time. Now it seems like that was a waste because you're going from it." And when he says, "I'm afraid of you," it means I'm terrified. That comes from the Greek word phobos, from which we get our word phobia. Many people, when they hear doctors say, "You have cancer," to them it is a very terrifying word and thing to hear. Particularly when it was the last thing you expected to hear. And he says, his labor. The word labor meant to labor to the point of exhaustion. And it's in the perfect Greek tense, meaning that he had done a thorough work in this ministry among them. He gave himself every day throughout the day, morning to night, and he just gave himself so much to the point of physical as well as weariness, all exhaustion. Now, perhaps you've seen a person say they begin to grow, and they're taken in, unfortunately, by contemporary church. And, oh, that just breaks our heart. I don't know about you, but that just breaks my heart every time I see something like that happen. It's terrible. It's just terrible. We see some fundamentalists. And some fundamental church or some fundamental leader, maybe he's in a Bible college or something else, who has this great ministry that's built up, and then they change. And so many are led to change with him. Many times this affects young preachers because they had that favorite school they went to, or that favorite church, that favorite pastor, that favorite evangelist. And we're to do church by the Bible. Now, whether that favorite pastor or evangelist, college or whatever, whether it's in Florida or Tennessee or Texas or California or wherever, if they compromise and go away from the Word, we don't go with it. You see, some will compromise just a little bit, maybe on music. Some of these guys begin to co-author books. And, you know, I've asked some of them, why are you reading these new evangelical books instead of staying the good fundamental Bible believers' books? And so, well, nobody writes them anymore. Now, I want to take them up to the sword of the Lord and let them read a bunch of books. Now, what they mean is that people don't write philosophically and teach what the Bible is saying verse by verse. They don't write that way, but rather they write philosophies that make us feel good. Now, I'd like to be the positive only, smiling preacher that's always smiling, making everybody feel good. I'd love to do that. I really would. But you can't preach the Bible and do that. Because the Bible tells it as it is to men as they are. And when you preach the Bible as it is to men as they are, it's not going to be positive all the time. As a matter of fact, 8 of the 10 commandments are negative. And some people think even the 2 commandments, and even in Jesus' time, they were trying to mend honor your mother and father. Okay, so even that in their day was trying to be amended. And you see that over and over and over again. I was reading recently in Proverbs chapter 12. It says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Now, when I read that word brutish, I thought, now, what does that word actually mean? And I looked up a quick definition, and it just said the first word was stupid. And forgive me for laughing, but, you know, there are people that will hear God's name taken in vain, and they'll hear every four-letter word in the book on TV or some other avenue and won't say a word about it.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.